Lecture topic, Prophet Abraham the Truthful.
إن الحمد لله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم تر إلى الذي حاج إبراهيم في ربه أن آتاه الله الملك إذ قال إبراهيم ربي الذي يحيي ويميت قال أنا أحيي وأميت قال إبراهيم فإن الله يأتي بالشمس من المشرق فأت بها من المغرب فبهت الذي كفر والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين وقال تعالى واذكر في الكتاب إبراهيم إنه كان صديقا نبيا وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم ألا أنبئكم بأكبر الكبائر قالوا بلى يا رسول الله قال الشرك بالله وعقوق الوالدين وكان متكئا فجلس فقال ألا وشهادة الزور ألا وقول الزور ألا وشهادة الزور ألا وقول الزور فما زال يكررها حتى قلنا ليته سكت أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله المولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable Ulama Ikram, respected brothers and elders, I have selected two ayat of discussion before you. The first verse that I recited before you is the verse of the third juz of the Quran, wherein Allah Rabbul Izzat makes mention of the incident between Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and Namrud. And in this particular ayat, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam introduces Allah to mankind also, and in particular to Namrud, who was the tyrant ruler of that time. The second ayat that I recited, in that ayat, Allah introduces Ibrahim alayhi salam to the creation. So one is the description and the introduction of Allah done by Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in the presence and in the court of such a tyrant ruler that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, أَفْضَلُ الْجِهَادِ كَلِمَةُ حَقٍّ عِنْدَ سُلْطَانٍ جَائِرٍ The noblest form of jihad is to utter the truth in front of a tyrant ruler. When the proclamation and the articulation of truth will risk your life at times, to utter and maintain and express the truth and manifest the truth, the Nabi of Allah says that is the noblest form of jihad. We find in a lengthy discussion between Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and Namrud, Ibrahim alayhi salam introduces Allah in the following way: الذي خلقني فهو يهدين والذي هو يطعمني ويسقين. My Allah is the one that has created me. Hence He provides for me. He has created me. Hence He nourishes me. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ And when perchance I become sick, then my Allah is so kind that He cures me. Something noteworthy in this description of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam is that he does not attribute the element of sickness to Allah, but rather he attributes the element of cure to Allah. He says, when I become sick, Allah is kind that He cures me. And he continues in this discussion. Then he tells Namrud, my Allah is the one that causes the sun to rise from the east and set in the west. We learn from the riwayat of Tirmizi Sharif, wherein Nabi alayhi salam says, daily the sun comes, prostrates and bows in the court of Allah, takes the permission of Allah. Allah then permits it and it rises. Prior to Qiyamah, it will come in the court of Allah, bow in the presence of Allah, take the permission of Allah. Allah will decline, Allah will refuse. It will be that day when the sun will rise from the west and the doors of Tawbah will be shut. Namrud has no answer. فَأْتِ بِهَا مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرْ My Allah causes the sun to rise from the east and set in the west. I challenge you, make the sun rise from the west and let it set in the east. The Quran says Namrud was speechless. He had no answer. Nevertheless, this is just one ayat that I quoted among the many ayat where Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam speaks about the greatness of Allah and the grandeur of Allah. The second ayat that I made mention of is, in this verse, Allah introduces Ibrahim alayhi salam and Allah praises. Naturally, the praise of Allah regarding any person will be free from exaggeration. When you and I love and cherish and honor and revere a person, we put all the good in him. And when we dislike him for a personal motive, we disgrace him, we embarrass him, we belittle him as though that man has absolutely no good in him. However, when Allah praises a person who knows that يُمَنْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ إِذْ أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ from the very time he intended his creation. So the praise of Allah in the merit of a person would be the best, would be free from all forms of exaggeration. Allah praises Ibrahim alayhi salam in the most unique way. Inna Ibrahim kana ummatan qanita. Allah says, verily Ibrahim, one individual, in his submission to Allah, he represented one entire nation. He was so obedient, so obliging, so respectful, and he submitted. He was an embodiment of submission. He was an embodiment of piety, honesty, in every regard, to such an extent, like a father would say, that this one child for me, if he's giving him problems, he will say, this boy is like as good as three children for me. And if that boy is noble, Allah make us noble to our parents. Say ameen, brothers. If he's noble and he's obliging and he's respectful, he says, this one boy, he's a son to me also, he's a daughter to me also, he's a friend to me also, he's a partner to me. This boy has taken my du'as and he has aided me in every aspect of my life. Allah says, Ibrahim, in complying to my obedience, be it when the request came to slaughter his son, which is relevant to the time in which we are passing through, be it when the command came to part with his wife, be it when he had to separate from his family, one Ibrahim represents one entire nation. ثم أوحينا إليك أن اتبع شاكرا لأنعمي, perpetually grateful to the bounties of Allah Ta'ala. واذكر في الكتاب إبراهيم إنه كان صديقا نبيا. And narrate to them the incident of Ibrahim. Indeed, he was the most truthful person. In fact, in this verse, in the latter portion of the first verse that I recited, Allah says, ثم أوحينا إليك أن اتبع ملة إبراهيم حنيفا. And then we inspired you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we revealed to you that you should follow the teachings of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allama Zamakhshari rahimahumullah, a great scholar of tafsir who compiled the authentic tafsir of Zamakhshari, he says, if all the salient qualities of Sayyidina Ibrahim is to be placed on one side, his piety, his honesty, his submission, being the friend of Allah, and on the other hand, this virtue that Allah affords him, what is it? That Allah commands Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who came as a leader unto humanity in its entirety. In this particular verse, Allah commands Nabi alayhi salam that you follow Ibrahim alayhi salam. He says, this virtue in the favor of Ibrahim, that the master of both the world is commanded to follow the teachings of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, surpasses all the merit, the virtue and the honor that Allah had favored Ibrahim alayhi salam with. Friends and elders, today I want to expound on only one quality in the noble life of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Much can be said, and you study the life of any prophet from any angle, in and out, through and through, it is only guidance. But I wish to focus and expound on one quality in the noble life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. And that is the ayat that I made mention of, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. And narrate to them the incident of Ibrahim. Allah then goes on to say, who was Ibrahim? He was a person of honesty. He was a man of truthfulness. He was a person who kept up to his word. And that is the focus of my topic. We learn in the hadith of Bukhari Sharif, on the day of Qiyamah, when humanity will be confused, when humanity will be desperate, and this will be during the period when hisab and accountability will be taking place, the anxiety will know no bounds and no limits. The dwellers of Jannat, Allah make us among them, their anticipation to enter into Jannat. Those that know the decision is unpleasant, but waiting here in the midst of millions and billions, where our embarrassment and our wrong is being exposed, they will also opt for being entered into their abode, despite it not being a pleasant one. At least our evil will be screened and blocked from the view of other people. So humanity will come to Adam alayhi salatu wassalam. Ya abana ishfa' lana ila rabbik. O Adam, we ask you, you are our father, the first person that Allah created. خَلَقَ آدَم بِيَدِهِ. Allah created Adam with his hands. كَتَبَ التَّوْرَاةَ بِيَدِهِ. Allah wrote the Torah with his hands. خَلَقَ الْفِرْدَوْسَ بِيَدِهِ. And Allah designed Jannatul Firdaus with his own hands. O Adam, we ask you, we beseech you, we implore you, why don't you take our plea in the court of Allah? We're not in a position to go, we have so much sin. And ask Allah to now make the decision so that the dwellers of Jannat can move on their way. فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. Adam alayhi salam will politely, gently decline by saying, وَهَلْ أَخْرَجَكُمْ إِلَّا خَطِيئَةُ أَبِيكُمْ. It was the very mistake of your father that drove you out of Jannat. I am the one that is responsible because of which you were taken out of Jannat. I don't think I am the one that has the rights and the honor to take your plea back to Allah. But why don't you speak to Musa? كَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. A beloved servant of Allah, Allah communicated with him. The humanity in its entirety will turn focus and come to Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam will say, by mistake, unjustly, incorrectly, unlawfully, in an illegitimate way, I killed one person whose killing was not approved by Allah, whose killing was not sanctioned by Allah, for which I fear the grave consequences. This sin of mine, this wrong of mine, haunts me at every moment. When I think of that, it gives me a shiver. I don't think I'm in the position to take your plea before Allah. But why don't you make focus towards Isa alayhi salam? The Quran spoke about him. The Injil was revealed upon him. He is amongst the Ulul Azm Anbiya alayhi salam. The entire creation will come to Isa alayhi salam. Oh Isa, that person who has been referred to as Kalimatullah, we ask you, we beseech you, take our plea to Allah, that Allah can make some decision here. We are desperate. Isa alayhi salatu was salam will say, people ascribe me as partners with Allah. إِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمْ. Allah will address Isa. أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ. O Isa, O Jesus, had you gone in the world propagating and advocating that you are a deity? أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَهَيْنِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Had you passed this message? قَالَ سُبْحَانَكَ مَا يَكُونُ لِي. Oh Allah, I had never said this. The only thing I told them, what you commanded me. مَا قُلْتُ لَهُمْ إِلَّا مَا أَمَرْتَنِي بِهِ. My message to them was, oh Allah, worship Allah. He is my Lord, He is your Lord. Allah, they distorted it. Allah, they corrupted it. Nevertheless, this is my wrong. Although it's not his wrong, but the fact that I was used and I was abused in ascribing partners with Allah, I don't think I'm in a position. Why not take your plight to Ibrahim? Khalilullah, whom Allah spoke to. The entire creation will come to Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam will decline by saying, Inni kadibtu thalatha kadibat. I actually spoke three lies. The riwayat appears in Bukhari. I spoke a lie on three instances. And the thought of that lie, the thought of the utterance of that lie, gives me a shiver in my spine. I don't think I'm in a position to take this plight in your condition before Allah. Now let's tie it up with the verse that I recited. The verse is the verse of the 16th juz of the Quran in Surah Maryam, where Allah refers to Ibrahim as Siddiq, the most truthful, the most pious, the most noble. And yet the hadith of Bukhari says, when the creation will come to Ibrahim, he will decline by saying, I am a liar and I have spoken, or rather, not I'm a liar, I have spoken a lie on three instances. What are these lies which he will be implicating to, and what is meant about this? Let's expound on this particular hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The lies of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he has not spoken a lie, I will explain, apparent lie. And there was ambiguity in what he said. Yet we find Sayyidina Ibrahim shivers to stand before Allah. What will happen to that Muslim whose business is functioning on lies, who is lying to every customer that walks in his shop, who is there to take a false oath to promote that item? My Nabi said in the riwayat of Bukhari Sharif, perhaps that false oath will convince that customer. The words of Nabi alayhi salam, perhaps that false oath will convince that customer, promote that item. But rest assured, when you brought lies in your business, Allah stepped out of your business. My brother, the choice is yours. Either Allah be part of your dealings. If Allah is part of your dealings, barakat is part of your dealings. If Allah is part of your dealings, there's pious children coming out of the food that has been consumed. And if Allah steps out of that, then that money, as quick as it comes, faster than that, it will leave. It will go in calamities. The children that will eat the food that is consumed through that haram will never bring obedient children. Nevertheless, what are these three lines of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam? We find the first instance when the nation is going out and they're going for some function and they tell Ibrahim, join us. فَنَظَرَ نَظْرَةً فِي النُّجُومِ. He glances towards the stars and just as a moment of pondering and contemplating. Now, he looks towards the skies. These people used to worship the stars, so they ideally interpreted it that he is determining his fortune by glancing at the stars. Although this was not his intention, فَقَالَ إِنِّي سَقِيمٌ. And then he said, no, I think I am sick. He was not physically sick at that stage. However, spiritually he was feeling sick. Naturally, any father looking at the wrong of his son, even if he's not physically sick, but the hurt, the wrong, the vice of his son, is going to bring pressure on that father. The father will really, from spiritually, go into physical sickness. So many parents, Allah give hidayat to the youth. Say ameen, brothers. Allah give hidayat to the youth. Wallah, there are so many parents that are hospitalized today, that are crying in clinics and hospitals, not for any physical reason. The thought, the fear, the worry, the anxiety of where my child is 12 o'clock in the night. My son is involved in some wrong. That fear, that worry, that concern has made those parents age, has made those parents hunch, and those parents are going in the qabr from that way. Those youth that are guilty of this, let us make tawbah to Allah. And just as we have brought grief to them, let us bring joy to those parents. So Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was hurt. He was not sick externally, he was sick internally, looking at the vice of his wrong. So there's ambiguity in what he said. They interpreted it as external sickness, he referred to it as spiritual. But nevertheless, the fact that it had an outer appearance of a lie, he still refers that to be as a lie. And in Islam, ambiguity is permissible. When the Nabi of Allah is making hijrat, what Sayyidina Abu Bakr on an unusual path, and the kuffar locate them, and everybody identifies Abu Bakr, and they tell Abu Bakr, who is this man with you? And that was the time that 100 camels were attached to the head of Nabi alayhi salam. So Abu Bakr uses an ambiguous term and he says, Rajulun Yahdini, this is my guide. They took it that he is the guide to show the way to Makkah, to Medina, and Abu Bakr took it that this is my spiritual guide. Ambiguity is permissible in Islam, there shouldn't be explicit lie. This is not the time to go in the detail of that. The second aspect, when he doesn't join them and they go out for this occasion, and then he finds the idols have been worshipped, he takes the axe and he breaks all the idols and he hangs the axe on the neck of the biggest idol. وَعَلَّقَ الْفَأْسَ فِي عُنُقِ الْكَبِيرِ. When they return, قَالُوا مَنْ فَعَلَ هَذَا بِآلِهَتِنَا إِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Who has done this? Who has been so evil, so nasty, so wretched that he has destroyed all our idols? Someone comes forward. قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا فَتَى. I know of a young gentleman. يُقَالُ لَهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. They call him Ibrahim. يَذْكُرُهُمْ. He's always referring to our idols in a derogatory way. If I have to tie it up with his criticism, his absence from attending the function, I think definitely this is the man. قَالُوا فَأْتُوا بِهِ عَلَىٰ أَعْيُنِ النَّاسِ. Bring him forward and then let's question him. Sayyidina Ibrahim is brought forward. أَأَنْتَ فَعَلْتَ هَذَا بِآلِهَتِنَا. Are you guilty of destroying our idols? Ibrahim alayhi salam pauses. And here again, something that has an apparent lie. قَالَ بَلْ فَعَلَهُ كَبِيرُهُمْ هَذَا فَاسْأَلُوهُمْ إِن كَانُوا يَنْتِقُونَ. Metaphorically speaking, why don't you ask? Like many a times, he refers to it, he says, this big idol has perpetrated this wrong. Whereas we know he was the one that broke it, an apparent lie. For example, to substantiate what I'm saying, a person is caught guilty of stealing, of theft, because of which his hands are chopped off. After that, you address that person and you tell him, well, I haven't cut your hands, you had your own hands cut. In other words, the wrong that you did, you justified and warranted that your hands be cut. So it's not me that is doing this to you, but rather it is your own action. In the same way, he referred to this action, pointing to the big idol, that this was the actual idol that instigated me and incited me, because this idol was worshipped and revered by them more than they were supposed to. He made reference towards that. But again, there is a flavor of an external form of lie. Look at the noble piety of a Nabi. The third instance, when he's traveling with his wife and they come to Egypt and there's a tyrant ruler and it is his evil habit that he abducts the wife of a person traveling and then he intends evil with her. He tells his beloved wife Sarah, this is the evil intentions of this man. If he summons you, you must tell him you are my sister. If the man knew that it was a sister, he would not interfere. However, if it happened to be the wife of any person, the spouse of any person, then, and of course in the term of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, you know, you could refer to it as the wife of a noble prophet, the consort of a Nabi. He tells his wife that if he summons you, then you know, you must say that you are my sister, and I will say that we are brothers. And in this way, we will try and avert this evil plan of his. Now here again, he was a wife, and we know Muslims are brothers and sisters, and at marriage, this relation continues. It's not that once she has become your wife, she no longer remains your Muslim sister, she still remains. But nevertheless, these are briefly the three apparent lies. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam on the grounds of this says, I'm not in a condition to take the plea of the creation before Allah. Friends and elders, my question to you is, what is the condition of that father who is actually teaching the child lies? When the child goes for some shopping or for some extra curriculum, and then the child in full honesty and humbleness and simplicity and you know, asks, tomorrow when I go to madrasa, what do I tell the ustad? Is there, just say you were sick. As simple as that, as easy as that. Open the 17th juz of the Quran Surah Hajj. Allah says, وَجْتَنِبُوا الرِّجِسَ مِنَ الْأَوْثَانِ وَجْتَنِبُوا قَوْلَ الزُّورِ. Allah says, abstain from idol worship. Abstain from idol worship. And Allah couples the prohibition of idol worship with the utterance of lie. The commentators deduce the significance of any injunction or the prohibition of any command in accordance and in merit in the context in which it is mentioned. So we find Allah speaks about respect, Allah speaks about oneness, the oneness of Allah. And Allah couples that injunction with kindness to parents. In other words, while speaking of the most important thing, that is the oneness of Allah, Allah couples it with kindness to parents. Allah speaks about the most grave sin that any human can commit, and that is worshipping idols. Allah couples that sin, that vice, that transgression with what? With utterance of life. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was reclining. He told his sahaba, Ala unabbi'ukum bi akbar al kabair. O my sahaba, can I tell you of the major sins? Can I tell you of grave sins? Bala ya Rasulullah, please tell us, O Nabi of Allah. He says, Ashirku billah, to ascribe partners with Allah. Wa uququl walidain, and to disobey your parents. Wa kana muttaki'an, and he was reclining. Fajalas, he got up, and then he addressed us. And he said, Allah wa shahadat az-zur, Allah wa qawl az-zur, Allah wa shahadat az-zur, to speak a lie or to give false evidence, to speak a lie or to give false evidence. Sahaba said that he repeated himself so much, so much, so much, that in our hearts, out of respect, we never would ever refer to any statement of Nabi alayhi salam as monotonous or boring. But in our hearts, we thought, O Nabi of Allah, we've heard you, you're audible, you've conveyed yourself. He kept on repeating, stressing, emphasizing, and, you know, stressing over the same thing. The major sin is to speak a lie or to give false evidence, to speak a lie or to give false evidence. Friends and elders, Allah speaks about this in the 14th juz of the Quran. وَأَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ إِذَا عَهَدْتُمْ. Allah says, when you deal with someone, when you contract with someone, when you've given a verbal commitment, then honor your word. Honor your word. If you don't honor it, that's a sign of a munafiq. You know, one is, unfortunately today, we lack the symbols and the qualities of a believer. But more ironic than that is, we have and we possess the qualities of kufar and munafiq. One is, we are just devoid of noble qualities and we are in a neutral position. Believe me, the stage is gone beyond that. We don't fit the description of believers. And as far as qualities and attributes are concerned, you will find many a times we fit the description, and I speak about myself and one and all, we fit the description of what has been referred to as the traits and the qualities and the attributes of munafiqeen. Allah says, honor your word. Then Allah goes on to say, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّتِي نَقَدَتْ غَزْلَهَا مِنْ بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ أَنْكَاثًا تَتَّخِذُونَ أَيْمَانَكُمْ دَخَلًا بَيْنَكُمْ أَنْ تَكُونَ أُمَّةً هِيَ أَرْبَى مِنْ أُمَّةً. Allah says, perhaps it will happen that you promise a man, you agree with a man, you contract with a man, and then after you have contracted with him, a month or 2 months later, someone comes with a more tempting offer. You know, like they say, the pastures are greener that side, something more appealing, something more tempting, and you're on record here for 3 months or 6 months. You have contracted yourself, either on paper or verbally, but you know you had agreed with this man that you will be obligated to him, and you are on this, you know, that was the clause of the relation that you had stepped into and you had ventured into. Allah says, now when someone else comes to you and extend the better offer to you, at this juncture, Allah is testing you. Are you man enough to honor your word, or are you going to fall prey to the temptation of few rands, or few a better offer, or something more tempting or more striking? Allah says, "Innama yabluukum Allahu bi." Allah is testing you, and Allah wants to see if you will honor your word and your contract and your promise and your pledge. Wa kana sadiqal wa'di. Allah speaks about the salient quality of Ismail alayhi salam, one who kept up to his word. Under the commentary of this ayat, one man had made a promise to meet with Ismail alayhi salam at a particular venue. That man did not come there. Ismail alayhi salam came to that place for one entire year daily waiting for that man. Allah speaks about this particular salient quality in the life of Ismail alayhi salam. Nevertheless, the Quran says that Allah is testing you, that you made a promise. Now there's two things that I want to draw a difference between, and we end with this here, brothers. One is that when you pledged with that man and you promised, and at the time you contracted and you ventured into this contract, at that particular time in your heart, your intention was to comply, and your intention was to honor your agreement, and you did not have the intention of betraying that man. But 2-3 months later, you got tempted, and somehow you became a victim of this other temptation, and you terminated that first contract. So you went against your word. Allah says that is a sin, it is a grave sin, the consequences are grave. But then Allah goes on to mention another form of lie, which is 10 times more severe than the first form of lie. And that is very, very important for us to understand at this particular juncture, brothers. That Allah says, وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا أَيْمَانَكُمْ دَخَلًا بَيْنَكُمْ فَتَزِلَّ قَدَمٌ بَعْدَ ثُبُوتِهَا. Allah says, many a times you venture into a deal, or you go onto a verbal agreement, and at the very time that you are signing the documents, and at the very time that you are making those pledges, At the very time you are signing that check, at that very moment in the heart of hearts, you know you're going to betray this man. The only reason, and then Allah says, the irony of the whole thing is, you do your wrong to add weight and merit to your wrong, you bring my name in the picture. So you take the name of Allah, you take the qasam of the Quran, you come and finalize and materialize your deal at noble venues, come to the masjid in the presence of an alim. But Allah says, at that very moment, while you were signing that check, you knew in your heart, you are not going to pay this man. You are going to beguile, mislead and deceive this man. What are the consequences of such a lie that at the very time you intended it? The Quran in the 14th juz says, وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا أَيْمَانَكُمْ دَخَلًا بَيْنَكُمْ فَتَزِلَّ قَدَمٌ بَعْدَ ثُبُوتِهَا وَتَذُوقُ السُّوءَ بِمَا صَدَدْتُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Allah says, do not use my honorable name as a form of deceit and deception and delusion. فَتَزِلَّ قَدَمٌ بَعْدَ ثُبُوتِهَا. There is fear. Perhaps, tazilla, zalla yazillu in Arabic means to slip and slide. Qadam refers to leg. Thubut means firmness. Fatazilla qadam ba'da thubutiha. There is chance, perhaps, this man's foot would slide and slip after its firmness. This is the literal translation of this ayat. The commentators explain what is meant by this particular explanation. They unanimously agree that there is fear his feet will slide and slip from Islam into kufr before dying. The man who speaks a lie, at the very time when he's contracting, abusing the name of Allah, Allah says, one is if you lie and then you promise and you intended to honor it and then you betrayed it. That is the sign of a munafiq. But at the very time that you were pledging and you were contracting, in your heart you were speaking a lie, and you knew you were not going to upkeep and uphold this agreement. You only took an oath to convince that man and nothing else. Allah says, such a man should fear. There is fear that such a person will be deprived with iman. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, man halafa ala yameenin wa huwa fiha fajir liyaqta'a biha ma lam ri'im muslim. He who takes a false oath to deprive his brother, or to make an extra rand, or to earn some extra dollars. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the riwayat of Bukhari, لَقِيَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ غَضْبَانِ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ لَقِيَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ عَنْهُ مُعْرِضٍ. Such a man will appear before Allah, and Allah will turn his face away from him. Such a man will come to see Allah, but Allah will not want to see such a person. Brothers, that will be the climax of the irony of a man who worships Allah, but yet is deprived of the countenance of Allah. We find at this time, in this age, this month that we are going through, we will be reviving the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. We have only dealt with one noble quality, and that is the quality of honesty, piety and integrity. May Allah instill and infuse within us honesty, and make us truthful people. May Allah make us honest businessmen. Wallah brothers, let us maintain honesty. Let us maintain principles. Let us respect our word. Let us honor our word. The Nabi of Allah says, At-tajiru as-saduq ma'a an-nabiyyin. You will not be perhaps going to a Darul Uloom to acquire the knowledge of deen. Perhaps you will not memorize the Quran. Perhaps you will not go to Mecca and Umrah every year for Hajj and Umrah. But yet the Nabi of Allah says that honest, pious, truthful businessman who fears Allah in his trading, his abode will be the same as the prophets on the day of Qiyamah. Allah inspire us all. Wa akhir da'wan alhamdulillah.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.